Good morning. Happy Easter. Our scripture passage for today is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. I'd like to invite you to turn there with me, either in your Bible, on your phone, or follow along on the screen. And if you're able, please stand to honor the reading of God's word. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated.
Good morning. My name is Pastor Andy, one of the pastors and elders here at City Light, and just want to welcome you. Thank you for coming today. You all look wonderful in your Easter best. I told some people earlier this morning, I said, look around, because this is as good as we get, right? This side of heaven. This is as nice as we're all going to look together. Just want to thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. And while we celebrate the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus every Sunday at City Light, that's really, I say sometimes, I preach the same message every Sunday and just slightly change it to match the text. And that's true, because we're always celebrating that, but it is good to take time to specifically and in a special way celebrate that today. Just like I love my wife every day, and I spend time with her every day, there's still something good and right about celebrating our marriage in a unique way on our anniversary. It's the same with this today. We celebrate. But did you hear in the text that was read that we celebrate as exiles? We were called exiles in this text. It was at the very beginning. We are addressed as exiles. We're going to address that and what it means to be exiles and how we worship as exiles. But before we jump in, I want to pray for our time in God's word together. Father God, we pray this morning for you to meet us where we are. Through your holy, inspired, inerrant word, would you speak to our hearts and minds today? Would you help us to have a better and greater vision of Christ and his resurrection, and that would change us at our very depths, Lord? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was thinking about exiles, and I was wondering if you've ever felt like you didn't fit in. We all have had times like that, right? But I was remembering a specific time as an adult where I felt that way. As children, especially as teenagers, right, we feel that all the time. That's kind of what middle school is, just like 3 years of feeling like you don't fit in. But this was as an adult. I was invited to a dinner at a faculty member's house. This faculty member was a major author and had been a lifelong academic. Beautiful, wonderful family in a beautiful, wonderful house. But it was very, very different from the house and the culture and the way that I grew up. Okay, you can think this house was like walking into Frasier. You guys remember that show? My house was much more like walking into Roseanne, right? That's a little bit to give you the comparison. When we walked in, it felt like high society living. Now, this man was not like flaunting anything. It was just the way his family and the culture of his family operated. But we were offered various vintages of wine, right? I don't even drink wine. We looked at paintings and artwork. There was a sitting room with a grand piano and all these books that were bound in leather. My Bible is like my only leather-bound book that I've ever owned. And it was wonderful. I felt very welcomed by this family. They wanted to share all these beautiful things with us. But as I said, that's about as far from how I grew up as possible. I'm a blue-collar kid from York County. I grew up fishing and hunting. It's not worse or better than how this family lived. I'm not saying that today, but it's very different, is what I'm trying to make us see here. It was very, very different. And there was another member of our church, he's at our church in Manayunk, who was in this same seminary class with me and was also invited to this dinner. And he's from a very similar background. He's from Juniata Park, blue-collar Philadelphia kid. And after a conversation that we had, this is a real conversation, about whether the stuff on the table was some fancy, expensive snack or potpourri, and if we should eat it or not, we looked at each other and we said, we don't really feel like we belong here, right? We felt so out of place. And again, it was nothing that this faculty member had done. But this was just something that we felt internally, deep in our being, we felt far from home. You've probably felt that before, right? As Christians, we probably feel that more and more and more as our world seems to slide further and further away. You know why you feel that way as a Christian? Because you're an exile. That's what this text tells us. Exiles are those that are living in a land that isn't their own. We've talked about that in our Isaiah series. We have seen that God's people are exiles. And I love how Pastor Matt, our pastor at our Manayunk congregation, says this. So I'm just going to quote him. He says, 1 Peter 1:1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles. If you're a follower of Jesus today, if you trust in him as your Savior and Lord, you are an elect exile. An exile means you're not at home where you are. You belong to Jesus, and his heavenly kingdom is your true home. So you'll never quite fit in here in this world. You're an exile. But even if you're not a genuine follower of Jesus, you know what it's like to not fit in, to be lonely in a crowd, to feel like there's something that's not quite right in this world, and that you're not completely at home. As we celebrate Christ's resurrection this Easter Sunday, I want you to consider that even though we're not home with Jesus yet, as in we're not in heaven, right? His resurrection provides us exactly what we need to live with great purpose as his exiles now. And so today we're going to look at how we live as exiles. That's what Peter's trying to tell us. That's the intro to the book. And so our big idea from this text today, the thing that motivates us, that keeps us going as exiles, is this. It's bless the Lord for the resurrection. Bless the Lord means to praise him, sing his praises, speak his praises, attribute good things to him because of the resurrection of Jesus. And we're going to look at how the resurrection of Jesus in this text informs our past, our present, and our futures, and how it gives us exiles a living hope. That's the word that Peter uses. He says, you have a living hope. So first, the resurrection of Jesus redeems our past. Peter tells us that because of the resurrection of Christ, we're born again to a living hope. Born again is a key phrase there. We're made new. That's what it means to be born again. And it tells us even more than that. It says that those who believe or ever will believe in Jesus, God the Father knew about that before you were even born. Before there was even a you to know, God knew that you would trust in him and have a living hope, a new heart, a new birth. It was according to his foreknowledge, it says. So this is what that means. This is so beautiful to me. That means before you did anything good, worthy of God's love, and before you ever made a mistake, before there was a you to be called you, God called you to live a new life. So it's not based on anything you've done or haven't done. It's based on his good choice and his knowledge. He made a way for you to be born again. Why must we be born again? That's an important question to ask. Well, because we need a new heart. We heard about this in the beautiful story that Rachel read for us today. Our first relatives, Adam and Eve, you know that story now if you didn't know it before, they did the one thing God told them not to do. And they did it, why? Because they wanted to be like God. They didn't want to be under his rule anymore. They wanted to decide what was good and what was evil for themselves and make up life on their own terms. And ever since then, it hasn't really gone all that well for us. And we've all done the same exact thing every day. We try to break out from under God's authority and decide for ourselves what is good and what is bad. You know, that's why you do the things that you know you shouldn't do. We all do it, right? We can't even live up to our own standard when we try. We all do things that we're ashamed of. We know we shouldn't do, but we do them anyway. You know why you do that? It's because of sin. It's because, to be blunt with you today, you're a sinner. You aren't a sinner because you sin. This is important. You sin because you're a sinner. It's part of your identity without Jesus. But in Christ, in his resurrection, you're given a new life. Your sin is taken on the cross. One where through the sprinkling of Christ's blood, it says in our text, you're made clean, you're made new. All of your past sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. So Jesus' resurrection, his death and resurrection, redeems our past. It makes it new. No matter what you've done in here, no matter what sins you've committed, no matter how far you've run from God, you can be made new in an instant through the sprinkling of his blood and his resurrection. Second, it secures our future. Look what it says. Through Christ's resurrection, it says you have a hope that is four things here: imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Okay, all those words, we could break them all down, and they are slightly different, but the idea here is Peter's just trying to give you an overwhelming feeling that your future inheritance is totally and completely secure in Christ. That's what we could break each of those down. What does it mean to be unfading and imperishable? Let's just take them all together. Nothing can touch your salvation in Christ. You have something wonderful coming your way, Christian. And it's sure to happen. Not a, I hope it might happen. Not it 99% might happen. Not it's likely going to happen. It will happen. 100% sure. God promises that the resurrection of Jesus, in the resurrection of Jesus, your future is no longer in doubt ever again for those that are found in him. Think about all the other things that we look to for security. Right? What are some of the things in the future we look to? Money. If I can get enough money, then I'll be secure. Right? I can handle whatever comes my way, or my health, or my family, my job, where I live, maybe literal security. If I can get the gated community, then I'll be safe. But all these things that we trust in all the time are capable of perishing. They can be defiled. They're capable of fading. Not only are they capable, they will do all those things. Let's start with your health. Hate to tell you this today, but your health will fade. You will perish. You're going to get old, and you're going to die. Happy Easter, right? Your money will fade. It gets diluted. Inflation happens. Spending happens. Bad investments happen. Good investments turn bad investments. Disasters and calamities come. And even if we have all the money in the world, it can't stop us from many of life's uncertainties. Your inheritance is gone. The money is gone. Security is shattered. What about this one? Maybe this will hit a little closer to home. What about looking to the legacy in our children? Many of us do this for security in a way we might not want to admit, even to ourselves. But somewhere, I think, I know I do this sometimes, subconsciously even, we think that our kids are our security. I might be a screw up, but if I can raise great kids, then it'll all be redeemed and I'll be good. Now, I wouldn't say that out loud, right? But sometimes I act as though that were true. And don't hear me say that you shouldn't want to raise great kids. There's nothing wrong with wanting and desiring to raise your children well. In fact, you're told to do that as a Christian. That's, of course, a great thing. But we can't look to them as our security. One, that's placing a burden on our children that they were never meant to carry. But also, and I know it's scary to think of, but as parents, we know that you can raise your children in the best way possible, and they can still go astray. They can break your heart. They can disown you. There's no guarantees in life, except for one. God promises us that in the resurrection, we have an actual security that can never be taken from us because it's kept in heaven with Jesus. We can know for sure that the story ends with the glory of God and us being with him forever for all those who put their trust in him. That's available to you today. And so we've seen how we look to him in the past to redeem our past, and he secures our future. And the beautiful thing about that is that gives us a hope for the present. Right here and right now, we can have hope because of the way that Jesus' resurrection impacted our past and will impact our future. In Christ's resurrection, our past is handled, it's made new, our sins are gone, and our future is secure and solid. So Peter tells, here's what you do with that now. Right? He says, in this, those two things, you rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by the fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the moment, in the present, Peter's telling us to live with eternity in view. Now we can look at the various trials in our lives, if we do this, as very, very temporary. They're the trials of exiles who are going home soon. I think about it this way. If you're in the car after a long trip, you know, and you stop at Wawa to get a coffee and you spill a little coffee on your pants, right? We've all done there, on your shirt. You hit a bump. It's really not a big deal because you know you'll be home soon, right? It's not a big deal. It's a very small thing, but that's how we live now. It's not a big deal. I'll be home soon. I'm looking to a future that's solid, that's secure. Yes, I have trials as an exile, but I'm going home. When I go, when I get there, all the troubles won't matter anymore. Yes, our troubles in this life, our trials, can last a long time. But in light of eternity, they're short and momentary, the Bible says. We said it a lot in our Isaiah series. Yes, our struggles and our trials can be a long time, but there's a limit. And what is that limit? We kind of say it tongue-in-cheek. Only one lifetime. That's it. That sounds like a long time because that's all we can really think of. But in light of eternity, that's nothing. It's a blink. And not only can we trust that they will be short and momentary, we can trust that God, a God who loves us, the God who loves us enough to die for us, is actually doing something with our struggles and our trials. So not only do we just have to get through them and grit our teeth and we'll eventually make it to the other side, we can praise God in the midst because he's working in our lives through all these trials that we have. He's refining us, it says here. He's making us like him. He's removing the sin that stains us. And he tells us just like gold is tested in a fire to make sure it's pure and to remove the impurities, so are you made more like Jesus because of the struggles and trials that you go through. And all of this is for your good. But its purpose is to result in the praise and glory and honor of Jesus. In his praise, glory, and honor, you will find true joy. And so today, all of these things are available to you. You can have a redeemed past. You can have a secure future, and you can have hope in the present. But it's not just a given. It's not for everyone in the whole world all the time. It's available to everyone in the whole world. But like all gifts, we have to take it. We have to receive it by faith. You see, this gospel says that gospel just means good news, by the way. It's church word for saying the good news. The good news that Jesus gives us is that even though you are a sinner, deserving of death and punishment and hell, separation from God because he's perfect and holy, and if you entered into his presence, he would cease to be so, or you would die, one of the two, he had to make a way for you. And so Jesus Christ lived the life you could never live, perfectly fulfilling all the commands that God called us to do, and we can't. And then he died the death that sinners like you and I deserve, taking all of our punishment, all of our shame, all of our sin on himself and dying on the cross. We talked about that a lot on Good Friday, and you should go back and listen to it. We talked about 15 things that Jesus accomplished on the cross. And today, we're specifically celebrating that he didn't stay dead. There is an empty tomb in the Near East somewhere because Jesus is no longer in it. He resurrected from the dead, and you too will surely, if you trust in him, it says, resurrect like him. You will have a new body, a resurrected perfect body to live eternally free from all sin and all struggles and all trials. The way we access that today is through trusting in Jesus, not through doing good things, not through not stopping sinning, you can't, but through trusting in Christ as the payment for our sin. So as we celebrate that today, I want to offer a bit of perspective. Remember, we're exiles. That's what we've been talking about. Now, I live in Upper Darby in a very international neighborhood, and I've thought about what it would be like to live in my neighborhood if I wasn't born in the U.S., I feel pretty at home in my neighborhood. My York County culture is very similar to Delco culture. But what would it be like to live in a country where I didn't grow up, where I didn't speak the language well? Some of you know firsthand what that feeling is like. Kind of always feeling like you don't totally fit here or belong. And we should feel that way as Christians. We see the world around us and we say, I don't think this is my home. I don't feel at home here. I don't fit. And my international neighbors who I love, who we try to make feel welcome, just like my professor did for me, probably feel that way in our neighborhood. They probably feel like they don't quite fit, like it's not quite home. But they don't feel this way, I don't think, this is my observation, when it comes to celebrating. I love to see the freedom and joy that my neighbors experience when they're celebrating the things that are most important to them in their homeland and bringing their cultures from their homeland here and celebrating it here. A lot of my neighborhood is Ecuadorian. And one neighbor in particular is very quiet. Doesn't talk to us all that much. Not a mean guy, just on the quieter side. Doesn't know a lot of English. But around Christmas time, they keep this cultural tradition where they decorate their trucks and their cars and they make a procession to the church. And let me tell you, when they get together with their brothers and sisters from Ecuador and they celebrate, I see a different side of that neighbor than I've ever seen. All of a sudden, my quiet neighbors are laughing and shouting and playing music and joking, and waving, just full of joy. On that day, as they walk through the streets waving and celebrating, I see them doing something unique. I see them reflecting and remembering the place where they feel most at home. They are thinking about their homeland. And today, as Christians, what better day to celebrate, to reflect and remember our home? Let's think about our home today. Christian, this is not it. This is not your home, but we do get to go there one day, and it's sooner than we think. And in this celebration, let's get a little taste of that today. And so we're going to conclude this portion of our service and move into a time of musical worship. And when we do, a few ways you can respond. One, if you're feeling convicted today, like or overwhelmed, man, I need to trust in Christ. Don't ignore that feeling. Christ died to save sinners, of which I am the foremost, and you are one too. And if you would like to trust in Christ today, you can do that. You don't have to wait till you clean your life up to do anything like that. And on your Connect card on your seat, there's a sample prayer that you can pray to trust Christ today. We'll also have people on the side here. There's a sign that says prayer. They would love to pray with you and help lead you through what it might mean to be a Christian. You can also ask if you came with friends or family, ask them what it means. They would love to talk to you about it. We're going to take communion after our first song together to remember not just Christ's resurrection, but his death in our place, the death we deserved. And then we're going to sing more songs after that, and we're going to worship our Creator, our Savior, our Sanctifier together today. And so let's pray, and then we will continue worshiping through singing. Father God, thank you that you give a word to people feeling like exiles. I think we've all felt that more and more in the last couple of years. Lord, we feel it daily, many of us. We feel alone, we feel lonely. And Lord, some of that feeling is good because it shows that this is not our home. But Lord, some of us are actually lonely, and we're not just exiles because we've not yet trusted in you. Lord, for those who haven't yet done that but are feeling convicted this morning, feeling you drawing them to you, would you give them the courage to trust you today? To stop striving and seeking to be good enough, but to trust you that you are good enough and you paid the price for them and you've credited your goodness to them. God, those of us who have walked with you before today, whether it was just this last week or the last decades, God, would you help us to remember that this is not our home and we have a great homecoming and we can celebrate and give it a little taste of what it means to be home one day, right here, right now. Heaven can enter in a little bit here in this earth, God. Help us to celebrate your resurrection today specifically, but also all of your life, your death, your resurrection, and your return. We pray all these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.